Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
We're continuing our series today on faith supplements. And last week we began the series beginning to talk about the seven spiritual ingredients listed out in 2 Peter chapter 1 that help form a godly life. And I am convinced that every one of us as Christians, that we all desire, our goal and our desire is to draw closer and get closer to God. Every one of us wants to do that. That's why we're here. That's why we continue to seek him and find him, because we want to draw close to God. And here, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he informs us and lets us know that we can do that very thing, and lists out how. Talks about us maintaining a faith and how we can add ingredients like supplements to our life every day that build on top of our faith, that draw us closer to him. And our goal is to develop and to grow a healthy faith, a healthy walk as healthy Christians. And whether it be vitamins, minerals, or herbs, supplements are, health supplements are important for our life. And they help us to maintain and even increase our overall nutrition in areas that we might be lacking. And they help provide a boost to our overall health. And we talked about that last week. And just as our physical health is important, our spiritual health is just as important. Understanding that there is a such thing as being spiritually healthy. And like vitamins, there are spiritual supplements that we can take every day to help boost our faith, our spiritual walk. And in 1 Peter, he lists out seven things that we can add to our faith, that we can be confident in knowing that it's going to help draw us closer to him. And last week, we talked about the responsibility that we have to maintain our own relationship with God, because it is our responsibility. Reason being, because verse 3 of chapter 1 tells us that God has given us everything we need for a godly life. He has given us everything. You have everything that you need as a believer in Jesus Christ to live and to build a godly life. He's given you everything. And we define a godly life means to be pleased with God and to be pleasing to God. In other words, that I don't have to go outside of God's will in order to find pleasure in my life, but I can find it that God is enough for me. I don't need God plus whatever else, but that he is enough for me. But also to be pleasing to him. Not pleasing to our friends, not pleasing to the people around me, but instead to be pleasing to God. That's what it means to live a godly life, is to be pleased with God and to be pleasing to him. And because he's given us everything in him, everything we need to live a godly life, that includes the desire and the ability to do the things that God wants us to do to please him. He gives us everything, even the desire. That very desire that you have to draw closer to him comes from God. He gives you that desire, and he gives you the ability to accomplish it. And everything that God has given us is found in his word. It's found in the word of God. Specifically, Peter says that they're found in his precious promises. These great precious promises, these if-thens, that if we do this, then he will do this. And it is a promise, not one that you and I make, but one that comes from the God of the universe, that we can trust and believe that what he says he will do, that he will do that very thing. And these promises, it says that they give us access to partake in his divine nature. That just blows me away when you just read it like that, because that's exactly what it is. You know, when God saved our soul, he could have just left it at that. You know, he could have just left it at that. Just saving our souls was enough. Yet he invited us to partake in his nature, to become more like him. When we were born again, he placed his spirit on the inside of us. But even then, every day, we have an opportunity to look more like him, to become more like him. That is he gives us opportunity to do. Specifically, he says, it allows us to escape corruption. The corruption that comes from our evil desires. That very thing that every one of us wants to stave off, that we are staving off and trying to get away from, the things that we are trying to get out of our life. It says here that it's our relationship with Jesus Christ, drawing closer to him through the Word of God. As we become more like him, we escape that corruption. We escape that temptation. We escape those very things that are trying to, those traps, as the Bible says, those traps that the devil is setting for us. We escape those things as we can become more like him. And that is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, that every day we maintain this relationship by simply drawing closer to him through the Word of God. And we get closer to him, and we become more godly. And this is the basis. This is the foundation that Peter says that we add to our faith. We add these seven things. We take these seven daily supplements on the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ as we walk with him. So last week we talked about and we made the decision that we are going to continue to follow Jesus. We're going to continue to do the things that draw us closer to him. But he lists out seven things, and today we're going to look at the very first one. So we're going to begin in verse 5. 2 Peter, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to begin here. We're going to take it a few phrases at a time. So he says this, verse 5, for this very reason that he lists out, talking about us drawing closer to him, for this very reason, make every effort, is what he says. Make every effort. Other translations say with all diligence. It means to move quickly, to make haste, to be eager, to be willing, to make something of your own interest. That this is something that you are doing and of your own interest, is to quickly obey and to make what is the Lord's interest your own. It means to make the necessary adjustments in order to accomplish what is at hand, to make every effort with all diligence, that we do whatever it's needed, that we do what we got to do in order to do what is about to say, to do what he's about to say. That we make every effort, that we do what we can to organize to make this a priority. He says to make every effort and do everything you can to supplement your faith. Again, we're supplementing, we're adding to our faith. We're making it better, we're making it stronger. We are adding something that's going to take our faith to another level. To become spiritually healthy. He says, supplement your faith with virtue. To supplement your faith, make every effort to add to your faith, to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, what is virtue? Because I'm going to be honest, you know, I can probably put on, you know, count on my two hands the number of times that I've really used that word outside of reading it from Scripture. So virtue is not something that we necessarily talk about, but generally we have a general idea of what it means. So virtue. Well, if we look in other translations, it says moral excellence. to add to our faith moral excellence. And excellence, we know what that means. It means to do something to the best of your ability. It means to do something to the best of your ability. And so moral excellence, it's doing what is right to the best of our ability at all times. It is doing the right thing at all times. A virtuous person is someone who seems to do the right thing all the time, who values doing the right thing. Now, virtue, I would go even further to describe it as the courage to do the right thing in every situation. Because there is a time where we have to be courageous to step out, to speak out for what's right. Now, I'm not talking about sharing and broadcasting our opinion. I'm not talking about making a scene. I'm talking about doing what is right whenever it needs to be done, whether it's in private or in public. Now, to really understand virtue, we must understand what we mean when we talk about the right thing. Because the world, we live in a world where the right thing many times is the wrong thing. And when we say that, you know, the right thing, people in our culture, in our society, it's normal what society calls right, the Bible says is wrong. And so we have to decide, when we talk about doing what is right, what are we talking about? Well, here it's talking about right according to God. Because some people would say that the right thing is to tell others that it's okay to believe whatever you want to believe, that it's okay. It's okay. Believe what you want. It's fine. Okay, that, first off, you know, logically doesn't even make sense. Because, you know, Buddhism and Christianity cannot be the same. They're, you know, Christianity is exclusive. Islam is exclusive. All these things make exclusive claims. So they all can't be the same in the first place. That's just logically. But we, you know, just saying, you know, people imagine that that's the right thing to do. Some people imagine that it's right to, that the right thing is to encourage others to cheat on their income tax, that it's okay. You know, you get more money, to encourage others to get an abortion, to encourage someone to do something that is wrong, but there comes a benefit out of it. There's a benefit that you get. It's okay. Doing the right thing is not the right thing just because society says that it's the right thing. When we talk about doing what is right, we're talking about what is right according to the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, only God establishes truth. Only God establishes what is right. Not myself and not my three best friends. Not my society that I live in. Not the culture. Not what is accepted on social media. Just because it's celebrated doesn't mean that it's right. So when we talk about the right thing, we're talking about what the Bible declares as right. There are things that are celebrated in our culture that go against God's word, and the world calls them virtuous while the Bible calls it sin. So the right thing is that which God has commanded in his word. Just to establish what is right. Only God establishes our moral compass. That's him. Not society. He is the one who established what is up and down, what is north and south, what is east and west, what is right and what is wrong. He establishes it. Therefore, being virtuous is doing the right thing according to his word, even when no one else around us is doing it. Doing the right thing in every situation, even when it doesn't benefit you. When it doesn't benefit me. That is virtue. Adding virtue to my life where I make the decision that I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what pleases God, even if the people around me are not. At the end of the day, what we're talking about are godly convictions. Because at the end of the day, we live by our convictions. And the man with no convictions is a man who can be convinced into doing anything. Someone who doesn't have convictions can be talked into doing anything. Right? Yep. Now listen, I'm those who know me know I'm willing to do anything. I'm happy to help. I'm willing to go the extra mile. That's just me. Like me at my core, I love to help. I love to do things. Except when it gets to the doorstep of my convictions, there's a place that it stops. We all have convictions where we are willing to help, it ends. Because there is something that says, no, I'm not willing to cross this line. But it's our job to ensure that our convictions are not based off our own selfishness and off of what we think is right versus according to the Word of God. His word, it's a difference when we can take God's word and we can believe it, receive it, and turn it into a conviction for our life that guards us and guides us. Because, you know, righteousness is not just a list of rules to keep us from having fun. Righteousness is meant to protect our heart, to protect our heart like a shield, like a breastplate. If you remember when we were going through the armor of God, it's like a breastplate to protect our heart, to keep the devil from leading us astray, to leading us away from God. Godly convictions from his word, they guard us and they guide us and keep us from doing what we know is wrong or from being talked into something that we maybe know, you know, there are times when the waters are a little gray, but when we have convictions, it'll tell us, I'm not sure about this one. You know, I need to take a step back. I need to take a step back and just, I'm not going to commit to this just yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you take a second, take a step back and say, okay, not just do I, you know, how do I feel about this? Not just how does my mom feel about this? Not just how does my spouse, how does God feel about this? How does this line up with his word? Yes, it's virtue to my life that not only do I want to draw closer to God, I also want to do what his word says. I want to do what he says, not just when it benefits me, but also when I know it's right, regardless of what the people say around me. Can I get an amen? Godly convictions give us courage to do what is right in all situations. And you know, this reminds me of a person that we all know too well in the Bible, and his name is Daniel. Daniel embodies this virtue that we're talking about. We're talking about a young man, most likely in his teens, who was forcibly taken from his home and then forced into another country, a whole nother culture, a whole nother society, completely different from what he was used to and required to live according to that culture for the rest of his life. Forced, surrounded by a pagan culture that went against God and also pagan gods. He's forced to live in this culture. And Daniel, even in the midst of all these things, he remained committed in his devotion to God, even under the threat of punishment. He was told that he had to do this, but he could not go past his godly convictions. And he said, I am not going to do that. In fact, when he made the decision that he was not going to eat the king's meat because it was going to defile him, not only did it work out for him, but it ended up working out for everyone around him. Because he stuck to his guns. That even whenever the pressure came on, he said, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to please God. And every one of us have been in a situation like that. And many of you have stories where you stood up and you did the right thing because you knew that you did not want to cross those godly convictions. This virtue. Daniel was morally courageous. Courageous. Daniel had godly convictions. It wasn't just something he had because everyone else did it. It was something he believed and he stuck to even when things got difficult. You know, there's a difference between doing the right thing according to the word versus doing the right thing according to society. And there are a lot of people who do good things, but he says to add to your faith. You know, just doing good doesn't make us better and it doesn't make us closer to God. But it's when we add it to our faith, when we add it to our relationship with Jesus Christ, that that is the motivating factor, not to be accepted by the people around me. Come on, somebody. But instead, for it, our motivating factor is our relationship with Jesus Christ to be pleasing to him. As Christians, this is the ingredient, the first ingredient listed that Peter encourages us to add to our life. Virtue, the courage to do what is right. To do what is right even when things, even when the situation doesn't benefit us. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we need more believers. We need more Christians who are doing what is right. Not in order to get a pat on the back, but simply because it is right in order to please God. And it made me think about Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And this salvation is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions," and take a look here, "and to live self-controlled lives, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." We are in a present age, in a day and time where people need to see Christians who are living, who are doing what is right in order to shine a light. We are lights shining in the darkness when we do what is right according to his word. Not to try to fit in, but to do what is right according to his word. This is virtue. And by doing so, we become a light. When we live self-controlled and upright in godly lives, we are shining a light in this present age. Let us as Christians live upright and godly lives. Let us be a light to the world around us. Let us not be Christians with no standards, but let us supplement our faith with virtue. A few takeaways. Number one, do not allow society to become your moral compass. Have you guys noticed that society is becoming, is trying to add more and more pressure to make it your moral compass? To say, you're not doing right unless you do what we say. That you're not doing right unless you are doing things this way. Praise be the name of the Lord that we have the Word of God that defines for us what is right. Let us not buy into the trap or buy into the hype or the sell for us to make what society says is right to be the thing that drives and that guides us in what's already a dark world. Because society changes, culture changes. And depending on what culture you live, what is right is different. If we were to hang out in Papua New Guinea, you know, they don't just eat animal meat, if you get what I'm saying. It's not just animal meat that they're looking for, okay? But for, you know, for their culture, that's right. It doesn't mean that it's right. Just because society says it's okay doesn't mean that it's okay. According to the Word of God, the Word of God decides what is right. Let us not allow society to become our moral compass, but instead let us allow God's promises to become the convictions that we live by. Allow God's promises to become convictions that you live by. That His Word, that it goes from here, that we take them and we put them in here, that that word becomes something that we live by, and then it's something that we guide our lives. We guide our lives. Well, you know, one of my favorite things about my wife is this very thing. You know, Proverbs 31 woman, that is my wife. And I'm not meaning to make this about Melinda, but really, one of my favorite things about her is that if she has godly convictions, and when those things come up, whether it's wrong, whether it's something that people say, whether it's something that's done, she'll come and tell me, oh, you would not believe. This made me so mad what they did, what they said. And sometimes if you ever see her post on social media, listen, it's because she feels like it has to be said. And it's not opinions. It's not opinions that we are basing our life with, that we are not, let us not just throw out opinions, but instead the Word of God, that it becomes convictions that we live by, that we choose not to cross that line because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and because of the Word of God. His Word dictates that fence line in my life, in your life. And number three, decide to do what is right in every circumstance. Let us be courageous and decide to do what is right in every circumstance. Whether it's at work, whether it's income tax time, whether it's when someone says something or does something that makes us upset, whether it's in public or in private, let us make a decision that we are going to be courageous and that we are going to do what is right when the time comes, that we are going to add virtue to our life, that we are going to do what is right according to the Word of God. Let us make that decision that we are going to be those people who are going to shine the light, because there are a lot of young Christians who need to know where to go, who need to be guided, who need to see a good example. You know, I remember being a young man who loved Jesus. And I had people in my life who were discipling me. But there were areas of my life that I wasn't being discipled in. And I didn't even realize some of the things that I needed to grow in my life. And it was, thank God for Coach in my life. His name was Coach Rodney Gibson. He was a godsend in my life. And he showed me, he was an example of the faith for me on how to live right before the Lord. He was an example. Let me encourage you to be the example in someone else's life. There is someone, whether they're in your family, whether they're in your neighborhood, whether they sit next to you in church, whatever it may be, they need an example to follow. May it be us. May it be you. The example that they can follow that lead them closer to Jesus and where they know that they can add virtue. That say, I want that in my life. Amen. I want that in my life. I want to live right before the Lord. I want to be courageous, even when nobody else is doing it, because Miss Gloria is doing it. Because Rendon is doing it. Let it be because of you, because of your life, that they see it in your life, and they say, I want that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the faith that you have given us, Lord, that we can walk with you, that we can draw closer to you. And God, today, Lord, we add this virtue to our life, Lord, of doing the right thing, moral excellence, doing the right thing at all times. And Lord, I pray Father God, that we would not allow society to become a trap, but Lord God, that we would seek to do what is right according to your word. And Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would not be drawn away, but Lord, that we would stand strong in your word and that we would do what is right to please you. May we be an example to the people around us. Lord, bless your people today. And Father, I pray that by the Holy Spirit that you would give us courage when the time comes, Lord, to do what is right. We thank you. If you believe that and receive that, say amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.